sparkling earrings lay against your skin so brown. And I want to sleep with you in the desert tonight, with a billion stars all around. 'Cause I got a peaceful, easy feeling, and I know you won't let me down. 'Cause I'm already standing on the ground. She can't take you anyway. You don't already know how to go.
To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, we'll take a few fast blasts, but more than all, we'll take your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM with our guest, Chris Conrad. If you want to get some more information on Chris and the organizations, there are two websites that are linked up to his name right now on coasttocoastam.com. Chris Conrad, our guest, your phone calls as well. Chris, so what progress are you making, other people who want to get this legalized? What's going on?
Well, we're making a lot of progress on different state levels, I feel, particularly here on the West Coast. You know, we've gotten the medical marijuana initiative passed in quite a number of states. They said 10 have that recognition going on right now. We're getting more and more pressure and public interest in the fact of change. What we're really lacking is the strong, deep commitment of people who support us. We have like a wide but shallow support. It's more or less a consensus, but where people don't feel like this is the litmus test issue that they call the congressman or vote on. And but if we can change that, I think we'll be in a very good position to make major progress soon. I think one of the things that we're starting to consider is more of the, what we consider like the local option approach, rather than trying to think of states completely legalizing marijuana, would be to allow local communities to decide for themselves if they want to tax and regulate adult use. That way the communities that don't want to have that, as I said, the NIMBY kind of attitude, they don't want it in their own backyard, they may not be too worried about someplace else. And so, like in California, where we've got cities like Oakland or San Francisco or Berkeley, that may have an interest in allowing this, would then be free to do so, and the other communities wouldn't. In that sense, we might, I think, get more support from people. Otherwise, if it's just saying it's going to be across the board and everyone has to have it in their face, as it were, you know, that may be something that people feel like they're not really ready for. And so I think that there's a little bit of a shift of focus. There's a national consensus to the effect that people respect and want medical marijuana. I think there's a national consensus that we don't want adolescents to use it. And what we're working for now is this consensus that we don't want adults in prison for it. We can regulate it and allow the communities that want to have it to control in a rational way.
To the phones we go. Wildcard line, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George?
Yeah.
Hi, I love your show.
Well, thank you.
I'm just calling because I just wanted to share this with you guys. I moved into a place and I was very dismayed to find out that my roommate was a cannabis enthusiast. And I have to say that I wasn't convinced about medical marijuana. Anyway, I've been here for about 6 months now, and I suffer from fibromyalgia and MCS, multiple chemical sensitivity. And I found in the past 6 months that I've had less chronic pain. I've also had better mobility, and I've also had less stiffness. And I can't attribute it to anything else other than the cannabis. I mean, even though I don't smoke it myself. And I just have to say that I am more convinced now than ever before, and I really was skeptical before, that medical marijuana really had very solid use in medicine, but I think it does. And I also just want to ask a question.
Sure.
Has there been any studies showing whether cannabis helps people more, you know, between the sexes, whether cannabis helps men more than women, or is there any kind of gender studies done? Because there's more women who have fibromyalgia, more women that have MCS, more women that have issues like that.
I haven't heard anything that breaks it down in those terms. Most of it has to do with the symptomatic relief that people are experiencing. And so things like nausea, for example, women may have morning sickness and things like that. They, when it comes to cramping, women are more likely to have things like menstrual cramps and so forth. So there would be, in my sense, a likelihood that women might have more conditions that might benefit from it. But I haven't really seen anything that breaks it down beyond that.
Okay.
I think what you said there is very interesting, though, because, you know, the American Association of Retired People, ARP, had a survey that they did, and what they found was that even with people who had skepticism about whether marijuana was working as medicine, they felt that people should have right to have access to it. And in a certain sense, I think that your description of your experience there of getting to have more exposure to it and then becoming familiar with some of the effects of it and then seeing it as being more beneficial is fairly typical. As people become more comfortable with it, they'll start to realize it's not a drug in the sense of you know, penicillin or something where you take a shot and bam, the problem is gone. But it really just makes life a little more pleasant for people who may otherwise be uncomfortable with the situation.
Chris, of course, heavy cigarette smoking causes cancer for some people.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you would smoke marijuana, what does that do to your lungs? What are the side effects?
Well, actually, the overall effect on the lungs is fairly minimal. There's one part of your lung which is affected fairly heavily, and if you look at the chemical breakdown of the smoke itself, you realize that there are some a lot of tar and carbon monoxide and so forth, which are generally not considered to be particularly beneficial, of course. And there certainly have been there's evidence of lesions being caused in the lungs, but what we don't have any evidence is of anyone getting emphysema from it or getting cancer from
mm-hmm.
it. So whatever the effect is, it seems to be fairly minor. And as I mentioned before, there seems to be evidence that cannabis has an anti-tumor effect, and I think that could be one of the factors that's keeping people from having more serious problems with it. However, to mitigate that, rather than smoking it, a lot of people use what's called a vaporizer, which superheats the cannabis, but it doesn't get to the temperature.
It's like steam?
Yeah, exactly. So that the active compounds evaporate into a steam-like vapor and they're inhaled without having the smoke. And a lot of doctors are really recommending people to pursue that. It takes away one of the major government arguments against medical marijuana, too, which is you wouldn't have a smoked medicine, although I disagree with that. I think that, you know, using a vaporizer means you don't have to smoke it.
Good point. What about those people who are on heavy pain pills that want to get off? What do they do? Where do you recommend?
Well, I mean, of course, it's going to depend upon the individual person and what they're using it for as to how effective this is. Marijuana doesn't work for everybody in every situation, but in general, people find that they can work their way off of other compounds because cannabis has this effect which is called a synergistic effect, meaning that the opiates, for example, they continue to be, in a sense, a stronger pain killer. Marijuana doesn't really kill pain. It just makes you less of an issue to you. You know, you're more tolerant of the pain. But it seems to make the opiates more effective, in so a small amount of opiate that would then therefore have the same effect. And so basically it makes it so that people get more benefit from a smaller dose of the other drug, and then it also relieves the need to then use some other drug to relieve a symptom that can be caused by the first drug.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, man. My name's Tim, and I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia.
Tim, welcome.
Yeah, I suffer from bipolar really, really bad, and I have since I was like 10. And when I was 15, I tried to hang myself.
My
dad pulled me down, and then they put me on Zyprexa and Depakote. And that worked for about 6 months, and then I took all my pills and stabbed myself in the throat. And when I got out of the mental hospital the second time, one of my uncles told me to try smoking a joint once a week and told me just to meditate, try to calm my nerves down, because I was molested when I was little, and that's mm-hmm. one of the things that pushed me that way.
Mm.
And I'm 22 now, and since I was 16, I've been on no pharmaceutical drugs for my depression, and I have had no major relapses with the bipolar. Only major thing I have is I carried a little bit out of context. I got a little too carried away with it. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad brought me back down to earth with it, and I really don't even feel the need I need anymore. It feels like it put me back into balance with stuff.
You feel better, Tim?
A lot better. I mean, because like before, every day, man, I just couldn't even go in public. I couldn't in school. I'd hang in the corner of the room with my hair in my face. I was getting nasty and stuff. And after I started using it, I started getting on superintendent's honor roll. I got in college.
Good for you.
Wow, that's great.
Let me ask you this. Now that you've done this, and it obviously seems like it's changed your life around, do you think back to that moment when you tried to hang yourself?
A lot of times I'm like,
does it scare you now, just thinking of what you tried to do?
It scares me a lot because I got a brother that's 14 right now, and he was molested too. And I see him going through a lot of the same things I was going through. And I don't necessarily want to hand him a joint at 14 and him go along with the drug crowd. You know, with the harder drugs.
Were you two molested by the same person?
Yeah. It was a family member, like a second cousin.
What has become of that person?
We went to the Palatine County law courtroom.
Yeah.
And filed a report, and they never did nothing because it was
nothing,
a girl.
Nothing. But your parents know about this?
Yeah, my mom and dad both. My dad quit talking to his side of the family.
Yeah.
And my mom and dad both went with us to the court. And they pretty much just threw it off because it was a woman that did it. They thought it had no effect on us.
Yeah, but it did.
Yeah, it had a big time because it went off from when I was like 2. I remember it happening when I was in diapers to I was like 13.
God. Hmm. Well, at least this is working for you.
Yep. I haven't even used it in 3 months. I don't even feel like I really need to anymore.
Now, that's interesting. Okay, tell us about this.
Points
please.
To me. One is
Thanks,
that, as I mentioned, it seems to be effective with bipolar conditions and giving people hope when they may otherwise be depressed. But the other thing is that, you know, the federal government did a study on marijuana with military veterans who have PTSD and found it was really effective, and so they immediately suppressed it. And that study was made top secret and just, it was recently leaked out. So that's kind of an interesting pattern that the government actually found out about the benefits for PTSD and then covered it up. The other thing is that in San Francisco, they have a program where patients get a card from the city in order to avoid getting arrested. And so what they're finding is about half of the patients who start using it within a year or two drop their medical recommendation. So this kind of says to me that it's not people who are using the recommendation as an excuse to keep smoking or to cover up this continuous smoking. For about half of the people who use it, they actually use it for a short-term situation like what you're talking about here, Tim.
Well, very good. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate your call. Good luck to you, by the way. Stay tough. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes.
This is John from Bridgeport, Ohio.
Hello, John. Go ahead.
Hey, I turn on the radio tonight, and I hear an old friend from college. I don't know if, Chris, if you remember me, but you worked at the CASA, didn't you?
Which college?
At the CASA, Nueva, in Athens, Ohio.
No, actually, I was at college in Maryland and in California.
Oh, I thought you were.
Okay. I just got an email from another Chris Conrad tonight, so...
you know Jack Hare, though.
I sure do, yeah.
Okay, well, Jack's a good friend of mine. I haven't seen Jack for a while since he had his heart attacks and that.
Yeah, he had a stroke and since then, too, so he's had some hard times, but Jack's coming back, and if you're listening, Jack, you know, keep the faith, man, and thanks for all your work.
Oh, well, what I wanted to know is what do you know of what's going on here in Ohio that I can get involved in? Because I've had heart attacks. My health has been hell. And I've used it for years as a cardiovascular dilator.
Mm-hmm.
And I purport to all my friends the benefits of it. And then you mentioned, too, about law enforcement. I know so many law enforcement people that are on the street that think that the laws are ridiculous and that they need to be changed. And here in Ohio, I know we're moving toward the medical marijuana. And I just wanted to know if you had any contacts here that I could contact and And
organization, anything like that?
Yeah, there's the Ohio Patient Network, which is out there. And actually, while you're talking here, I'm looking to see if I have a phone number for them. But you might have to look them up in a phone book or online. Actually, if you were to drop me an email and mention this, I'll refer you to a guy named Rob Ryan, who's out there. Hi, Rob. He's a good activist in this area, and I'm sure he'd be glad to hear from you.
Okay, good. Thanks for that, John. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello. Good evening, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
George, I called you a couple of weeks ago on this subject, and I'm so glad you're doing a show on this. This is fantastic.
That's why, and, because you called.
Well, it's fantastic.
Well, thank you for calling.
I appreciate it. And, Chris, it's really nice to hear you. I'm so glad George got a hold of you. We know each other. It's Andy from Orange County.
Oh, hi, Andy.
I'm behind the Orange Curtain down here in Southern California. And I want to make a few quick points. Maybe Chris can speak on them for a moment afterwards, but if I can just shoot right down the line. But I've got really a great research is druglibrary.org.
Right.
And they have a whole cannabis research library that shows thousands of studies in PDF format that is fantastic. It's Brian Crum, the RN. Anyway, that's really fantastic. It goes through a whole lot of different medical papers that are very shows a whole lot of very in-depth. And speaking of the medical subject, the other day on the 9th, this last Wednesday, USC hosted a cannabis conference, and it was various physicians that spoke to med students, and they also had the chief enforcement officer for the California Medical Board there discussing what they should do if they wanted to choose to use cannabis as, you know, pain relief for their patients. One of the things that she stated was that the doctors really should run through, for instance, I suffer from migraine headaches and I get the nausea and everything else, and, you know, for Imitrex to be slammed into my leg in syringe form into my thigh, or Cafergot that induces nausea, and I'm already nauseous from my migraine. They say take Reglan to take away the nausea that the Cafergot gives me, and I really am negligent about slamming a hypodermic needle into my leg. But it goes on to they were requesting that you give an MRI or other type of testing before you resort to cannabis, and that you also use pharmaceuticals, which was really upsetting to me because I had visited three physicians that refused to even think about recommending cannabis to me after the law passed 8 years ago, but they were happy to prescribe or even give me sample medication without any of those tests. So that was very upsetting, but we are definitely making progress. A couple quick things. I mean, I know patients that are suffering cancer. We've got phantom limb pain from amputation, right. MS, I mean, mental disorders such as the bipolar gentleman that called you. Very interesting, all that it does treat, and these poor patients that are really feeling in fear, and the patients that are living in states that don't have. But, you know, how much would you have to eat in order to overdose on it, Chris? I mean, isn't it like a 15-pound, which is, I mean, just the massive grocery bags full of it to overdose? Number two...
Actually, you have to smoke that. If you ate it, that still wouldn't be enough, except it could rupture your stomach.
I mean, that is mass. That's like, you know, garbage bags full. And we're talking about, you know, hidden studies that various, like Spain and the United States, have on tumors growth, how it really keeps tumors at bay. We have, you know, the other compounds that you spoke of. I mean, people are getting off those drugs, such as cocaine, heroin, opiates, and everything else, with the help of cannabis. There's, you know, our same. I also have Marinol prescribed, but the Marinol takes about an hour and a half to feel any effect from it. So you're not sure, I mean, in that the time that you're waiting for the Marinol to take effect, which doesn't release all the compounds if you vaporize or if you use it in smoked form, because it is a synthetic.
Does it work? By the way,
$2,200 for 100 pills. I called the company and asked for generics, if they would send me seeds in a joke, because it's synthetic. And the sales rep was not even aware that it costs $2,200 for 100 pills, and it takes me, I have to take four pills for it to be effective.
$2,200?
Yeah, where one plant would be, oh, goodness, don't get me started on that one.
Yeah,
and the rep was even amazed. Well, to go on real quick here. And
I got 30 seconds.
By the way, on my Marinol bottle, it says, use care when operating heavy machinery or driving.
Yep.
It doesn't say don't. And, you know, the cannabis receptor, if you can touch on the cannabis receptor, how the they have worked it where it can be blocked, where it shouldn't be messed with, because it's been around for thousands of years. We all have it. And I just want to thank you again. You know, we can't keep these drugs out of prison. They're not going to be off the street. It is truly medicine. It's helping people that are sick, disabled, and dying. Thank you, George. Thank you, Chris. Keep up the fight. Keep up the battle. Thank you, Valerie. Thank you, Steph. Thank you, everybody.
And we'll be back in just a moment with our guest, Chris Conrad, and the rest of your calls. You're welcome on Coast to Coast AM.
No time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only live. And our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire.
The After Dark Newsletter. Subscribe now by calling toll-free 1-888-727-5505. Talk with George Norrie. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Only trouble is, gee whiz, I'm dreaming my life away.
It's the only time I'll ever sing, but I think he had my mic down, didn't you, Steve? Yeah, never do that to me again. Back in a moment with our guest, Chris Conrad, on Coast to Coast AM. If anybody out there would like to apply for 2 new engineering positions, just go ahead and send me the resume. I'm only kidding. Chris, let's go to the phones. You ready for some more? Because program's gone by very fast, by the way. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. And where are you?
Oh, hi. Hi, George, number 7, and Chris.
Hi.
I'm Janine from Mattawa, Ontario, Canada.
Sure. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I am right with you, Chris. I agree everything that you're stating about marijuana. Here in Canada, we are going through some laws trying to legalize it. Terry Baker is one of the men who's been fighting it for 15 years. The reason why I'm calling in is I have crippling arthritis. I'm only 44 years old. I've had this for several years. But I was on that Celebrex. Actually, I'm still on it, which is a very bad drug. I realize that. My doctor was telling me that 400 to 500 milligrams was the problem that people were getting the heart attacks from. Well, I was only on 200 a day. I was taking 200 milligrams twice a day, which is 400 milligrams to me. He was saying, no, there's been pills where they give them 500 and 400 milligrams a pill. He has now knocked me down to 100 milligrams of pill for my arthritis. To tell you the truth, I gave up the Celebrex, and I am only smoking marijuana. I have been smoking marijuana, to tell you the truth, all my life. I'm also dyslexia. I have a lot of other nervous problems where I find that marijuana calms me down, makes me more focused, and definitely with the pain factor, it helps me a lot with my arthritis. And Chris, if somehow the American government and the Canadian government can get it together where they will finally realize how much this drug can help so many people in so many ways. Nausea? Yeah, these Celebrex, I take one pill and I feel sick in the morning. Mm. But if I smoke a joint before I take a pill, I have no nausea.
See, I still believe, and thanks, Janine, for your call.
Thank you.
Chris, there's a very strong undertone here of a lobby that is out there that does not want this used for medical reasons.
Yeah, well, I think that there's definitely some element to that as well. Like, you know,
too much money involved.
Saying, like, I was on 14 drugs and now I don't have any because of marijuana.
Yeah, you know, it's too much money out here.
Yeah, that means a lot to people. And, you know, speaking of too much money, though, it's like it's also this huge tax opportunity that's being lost by the government. The number one cash crop of the United States, and probably at this point Canada, the way things have been going, is going completely untaxed. You know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense if you have something. You know, we're always hurting for money, and yet we've got something that we could do, saving money by not spending so much money on imprisoning and arresting and incarcerating, and at the same time gaining money by taxing and regulating the access to it. It makes so much more sense to use that approach.
Do you think, though, that if this were legalized for medical purposes, how would you legislate that? How would you administer it? Because I think most people would rather grow their own then go out and buy it, don't you?
Well, one would think that, but here in California, we've got somewhere close to 100 dispensaries that are operating in the state right now. And so I think there's really a lot of people who would just as soon not grow. I mean, I guess you could grow your own corn and lettuce and stuff, and people don't feel that drawn to doing that either, you know.
That's true.
Especially when you've got some people who grow such extraordinarily high-quality cannabis. You know, that unless you're ready to go through that whole process, it's a lot of work to really produce high-quality cannabis. It's not that hard to produce lower grade.
West of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, this is Shelby from Bellingham.
Hi, Shelby.
Hi, Shelby.
And I suffer from Crohn's disease.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And so I've been using cannabis for years, but how do you go about doing it the legal way? Because I don't have a prescription card or anything like that, because I go to the same doctor that I take my two kids to, and I would feel a little uncomfortable first admitting it,
and
then asking.
You're in the state of Washington, right?
Right.
What's the law there, Chris?
I know that we have medical marijuana. I just don't know if it's only for certain things like cancer, AIDS. Does it matter on your diagnosis?
Yeah, actually, my understanding of the Washington law is that it has a some limits as to which conditions are can be covered, and it also says something along the lines that there's more or less of a catch-all where it's like a chronic condition or something like that. I'd have to look up the exact language of it here, but you know, you do have the option of getting it up there. They have a law that allows you to have like a 6-month supply in any given time.
It's got to be a medical necessity in Washington, and I think you need a prescription.
Well, it's not a technical prescription, it's a recommendation.
Recommendation, okay.
Right, and then actually in the Seattle area, they have adopted a low enforcement policy there, too. So in terms of legality, it doesn't improve your legality, but it does make it more less likely that you have a problem with the police there. in that area. But again, you do have a medical marijuana law there. You can get approval from a doctor. There are certain limited conditions, but I think there's a broad character that goes into it a little further. If you go to mpp.org or norml.org, those two organizations, the Marijuana Policy Project and the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, both monitor different state situations, the current laws, pending laws, and things like that. So I would go to those two resources, mpp.org and norml.org.
All right, good luck. There's a, can't remember his name, he's a college professor, he's in St. Louis. First name is Fred, he's a member of NORML, and he's got a hemp mobile out there.
Oh, well, good for him.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, George. This is Andy in Dallas, Texas.
Hi.
I got a question for your guest. What is the, is majority of your patients working? If so, how do they do that when majority of the businesses in the United States still have an anti-drug problem?
Actually, that's a really, I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I think drug testing is job discrimination. It really should be totally unacceptable in this country. You know, it doesn't test whether you're impaired. It only tests whether you've been exposed to cannabis within the past month or so. And so it's totally useless in terms of what it's supposed to be accomplishing. And it is a problem. Here in California, if you have a job, first off, you have your medical confidentiality protected. And so if they're giving drug testing, then you can just say that, you know, that you can actually have a doctor's, show your doctor's approval, and they would discount that. Like if you had a prescription for opiates, then when they give you a drug test, they have to discount the opiate portion of it. It's the same with marijuana here in California. If, however, it's a federal job, then you have to deal with the federal regulations, and you don't have that option. But right now in California, in most jobs, you can get show your doctor's recommendation, and that will exempt you from the drug testing.
What's in Washington, D.C.? Anything going on legal-wise?
Oh, boy, Washington, D.C. is quite the mess, because they voted to legalize it, and then the Congress voted to not count the votes, and then a private party put up the money, and then the courts ruled that they had to count the votes, and then they tallied it, and it turned out that it won by, I think, the neighborhood of 70% positive, and then Congress voted not to let it go in effect. So,
what you got to do is you got to use these black box voting machines where there's no paper trail, Chris. See, then you win, and nobody knows what happened.
Right. Well, you know, speaking of people knowing what's happening, you know, we've got this the Angel Ridge case coming down, and this is where the Supreme Court is going to decide whether the federal government can continue to go into states that allow medical marijuana and continue to arrest patients. And one of the things that we're asking people to do is that the day after that decision is announced, to go to a federal building or light a candle in your home, but take a candle to either, whichever way it goes, either we're lighting the candles for an enlightened future, or whether we're lighting a candle for the you know, loss of another right here in the United States. But, you know, we want people to show a little support for that with candles on the day after that Ridge decision is passed down.
Was cannabis ever sold in pharmacies?
Oh, yeah, it sure was. In fact, it was sold not only in pharmacies for people, but for animals. It was commonly used in the 19th century. If you go to the Federal DEA Museum in Washington, D.C., they have it's really kind of funny, George, in terms of that they show that in the 19th century, you know, all these drugs were in the pharmacies, and they've got, you know, a guy there, he's got the coca and the cannabis and the opiates and da-da-da-da. And then it says, you know, that then the government decided that they had to get control, and so they started labeling it. And then bit by bit, you watch over the next 60 years, you just watch the situation deteriorate to crack houses and battering rams and police helicopters and so forth, and you're thinking, now, that just goes to show you what getting the government involved in stuff can do.
Absolutely. First-time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, my name's Catherine. I'm calling from Kitchener, Ontario.
Hi, Catherine. Go ahead.
I am considered a legal Canadian medical marijuana user. Now, what that really means is I am still buying off the street. The cash transaction is still illegal, even though our wonderful Canadian government has spent $5.5 million on growing medical cannabis. I have tried it, and it's definitely not good enough for me. So I just wanted to remind any Canadian listeners out there that we still need people to call MPs, to show up at protests, and to really push to get this drug decriminalized, if not legalized. decriminalized would be a step in the right direction. And I definitely am not well enough to grow my own cannabis. I don't have to grow my own poppies for my morphine, which they don't have a problem giving to me. And it's really frustrating because I'm on a disability pension and all my drugs are covered through a drug benefit program, except the drug that keeps me out of hospital, which is the cannabis. And I've tried to find a lawyer to take the government again to court on discrimination charges because they're willing to pay for morphine, they're willing to pay for narcotics, but the drug that actually keeps me out of the hospital and keeps me in my residence, which is the cannabis, there's no help, and for me, it's very expensive.
And ironically, also, Chris, just a few days ago, a few weeks ago, four RCP policemen.
Oh, in, I'm sick about
that. Wasn't that horrible? They
and
were
the
shot and killed.
The media spin, I'm sorry to say this, the media spin that first came out condemning it being a grow-op was totally incorrect. Yes, yeah. They did find 20 little plants on the property, but that's not what started this.
No.
And
it was
I
a repossessed car, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yes, it was. And I really hope that police officers will not go into medical grow-ops with guns drawn expecting the same, because I have never heard of any medical grow-ops that I associate with that we would welcome the police. I mean, the very first package of medical cannabis that came to me got arrested by the police, and I went to court, and the judge was very angry with the police, and the courts gave the marijuana back to me. Some of the police officers are going to see this thing in Edmonton and condemn everybody who's been using marijuana, but I would welcome anybody to come into my home to videotape me day and night and see the difference of what it's like with the cannabis and what it's like without the cannabis. And at $595 a night for a one-bed room, like that's one bed in a three-bedroom ward in the hospital, that's what it costs, is $595 for one night. I mean, that would keep me in cannabis for 2.5-3 weeks, easy. But I can't trade a night in the hospital and take that money and then go spend it on cannabis. I wish I could. I also want to go to the pharmacy and get it like my other medications. I don't want to have to be growing it. I just really don't know what else to do. I'm part of the law.
Mm-hmm.
We're in court right now challenging the government, saying that what they said is we can legally use it, but then not to provide it is a whole other can of worms.
This sounds like a worldwide problem, Chris, just here in the United States
here.
Or Canada.
You know what else is interesting about it is the quality of the marijuana that the government grew up in Canada is so bad that a lot of patients are returning it.
What do you mean by so bad?
So much stem and seed and so much low potency. And I don't know if I've heard of mold or not, but I've seen photos that show quite a lot of seed and stem and leaf and just low quality material. What people want is the buds that have the resin glands on it. They don't want just whatever piece of plant matter the government throws in their way. But the United States government's marijuana is lower quality than the black market marijuana. Canadian government's marijuana is lower quality. And in Holland, they're running into the same problem where they have a national, you can get it in pharmacies, but the cost and the quality are not as competitive with the black market.
Seems
so
easy to rectify, though, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it should be very simple. Yeah, I just can't understand why governments are so bad at doing something that any farmer can, pull off. It just doesn't make too much sense.
Well, they probably don't know what they're doing. Maybe keeping the good stuff for themselves.
Uh-huh.
And what they're doing is they're selling you the stems and the roots and stuff, but they're keeping the leaves.
You're not the first person I've heard suggest that. And this thing with the RCMP where there's a shooting, and as soon as there's marijuana found, then immediately that becomes supposedly the cause of it. And the media is just so complicit. It's so quick to blame the marijuana that, a few days later, the apology that, it really wasn't that after all, that didn't get the same kind of coverage at all.
No, not at all. East of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, Mr. Norris. This is John, listening in Indianapolis.
Hi, John.
On WIBC.
Sure.
I just have a quick question for Mr. Conrad.
He's ready for you.
Hi, John.
I've read that the rare and more exotic Delta 6 THC is better for mind medicine over the Delta 9.
And what's the difference, John, Chris?
I don't know what the difference is between those two specifically, so I can't tell you. I know there's a Delta 8, there's a Delta 9, there's a Delta 6, and then there's the Hydroxy 11. But as far as exactly the difference is, I'm not a...
Why do chemist. They call it Delta?
That's... I don't remember at the moment. I'm sorry, I'm spacing on that.
I mean, is this grown by a government agency or something? It sounds like a Delta Force type thing.
Yeah, no, it sounds like that, but it's actually just a chemical. It has to do with the fact that I think that it's a hexagonal, and so the delta is a triangle, and so, you know, triangles composed of, a hexagon is composed of triangles, and so it has to do with the actual molecular structure.
All right, well, I haven't heard of that, and you obviously haven't heard a lot about it either.
No, I mean, I was saying that there's these 60 compounds, and they haven't really been explored as to which ones do which. So this is one of the things I'm often complaining about, is the lack of that information right there that he's asking. And I think it's a very good question, Tom. I just don't think you're going to find the answer, or John, excuse me.
Chris, a minute and a half to go. I might as well allow you to just say what you need to say to the millions of people who are listening.
Well, I came on tonight's show feeling particularly good because I just got informed that a jury acquitted a defendant of medical marijuana up in Lake County today, where he had been providing it to a number of patients, and they accused him of commercial distribution and so forth. And to me, this really shows that we're in a situation where the people are really ahead of the government, and that the shift is really not only overdue, but it's time to happen, and we need people to put the pressure on the politicians to make this happen. If you just come over to the websites, chrisconrad.com and safeaccessnow.net, those two will give you plenty of information on the cultivation and the use and the laws around marijuana. Safeaccessnow.org is for people who are interested in organizing on the issue, specifically to try to fight the federal prohibition against it. And when you go to mpp.org or normal.org, then you're going to find people who are doing other political organizing around straightening this issue around the state in the world. George Bush, when he was running for president, he got one thing right for sure. He said, I believe that each state can change that decision, can make that decision as they so choose regarding medical marijuana. And I really think it's time for the Congress and the administration and the Supreme Court to get out of the way and let democracy and freedom ring here in America.
Good luck. You've got
a
battle, Chris, but the best to you.
All right. I appreciate it, George. Thanks for this opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, years ago, when I had people... they had come into my studio and they had these problems and they just couldn't take pharmaceuticals. I said, you know what? There's got to be something here. It's my pleasure. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition with guest Father Andrew Wingate and his predictions. Until then, be safe, everyone.